Did you know the Bible has a lot to say about politicians? Numerous places in the Bible, Old Testament and New, we have scriptures about leaders, rulers, politicians. I don't know if I'll do it or not, but I'm half tempted to talk about politicians in the Bible before the end of the year. Tonight we want to look at politicians in a general sense. Our study is going to be restricted to the Old Testament and Old Testament Psalm, Psalm 58. David was likely the author of this psalm. And as we go through it, we're going to be reading every verse. As we go through it, it's very clear that politicians, political leaders, were on his mind. If you were present last Sunday evening, we had a study on snakes. And one of the places where we read about snakes is Psalm 58. Not just snakes are mentioned in Psalm 58, but a specific type of snake or serpent. Some translations we use the word cobra in Psalm 58. David, as he looks at his day and time, as he reflects on the leaders in that culture, and in that period, he compares them to that well-known snake. The general thrust of Psalm 58 seems to be this. Those in office, that of course would have been Saul and his princes, had decided that David had been in rebellion to the government. And because David was now viewed as a threat by Saul and his government, Saul had been advised by his counselors to kill David. Saul could have received different advice, but that was not what he received. You might say that David at this time in his life was on the most wanted list. If you found that 58th Psalm, let's start with verse 1 and see what's said there. Do ye indeed in silence speak righteousness? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? These leaders, as we continue to go through the Psalm, they were lawless, they were evil leaders. David, as he addresses these people who were in power, he asks if their words were righteous, if their words were just. The decisions that were being made by these political leaders, were these decisions being made, were they upright? Were the decisions fair and honorable? When they were silent, was that silence honest? The implied answer to each of these questions is no. They were not righteous. They were not good leaders. People can be frustrated by their political leaders, whether that is at the local level, whether that is at the state level, or whether that is the federal level, if their government is set up like ours. We're going to return to verse 1 in a little bit, but I want also to get more of the psalm before, see what we have in that second verse as well. David said nay. Ask those questions in verse 1, and then he says no. He says, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. These officials, these political leaders, David said, they spread violence in the earth throughout the land. He, as he looked at these leaders, said, you have evil hearts. You plot wickedness. You come up with evil schemes in your mind. So we see as we start to unfold this psalm, we have some heartless, thoughtless, cold, cruel, calculating people. We also, as we look at that second verse, might say that these leaders were involved with premeditated wickedness. As the psalm continues to move forward, it's almost like David becomes more and more worked up, more and more agitated. As we get down to verse 3, these words, the wicked are estranged from the womb. He's still talking about these politicians. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. When someone's upset, they sometimes say some things that are not literally true. For example, a person may say to someone that has been caught in a lie, you lie all the time. Well, that's not literally true. They may lie a lot. They may lie frequently, but it is not true that everything that comes out of the mouth is a lie. But a person becomes so frustrated, so agitated at the lie that they were told, at the lie they uncovered, they make that kind of statement. David is really upset with the politicians in his day and time. So as we come to this third verse in Psalm 58, he said, you went astray when? From the day you were born. From the day you were born, you began to speak lies. Well, that's not literally true. No one has ever seen a child exit the womb and the child is speaking words that can be understood, let alone speaking lies. Sometimes, though, Psalm 58 has been used to affirm that children are born sinners from birth. Well, that can't be right. If that is right, then there have been some pretty smart kids in the past, right? We've never seen a newborn speak lies. Child needs to be at least a few years old before that's going to occur. But David, he uses that analogy to say, as I think about you political leaders, you're not telling the truth. You're not honest. You're not people who have integrity. And still, that's the case. Many politicians lie and sometimes lie a lot. David understood that. And as he begins to talk about these leaders, he begins to wallop them and wallop them in a major way. By the time we get down to verses 4 and 5, David is so unhappy, he introduces the image of snakes. Verse 4 says, they're poison. That's what he thought was coming from the political leaders. Their poison is like the poison of the serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which hearkeneth not to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. David, as he looked at the political leaders, he said, you're like some poisonous snakes. There's venom that's coming from you. Bad promises may be made and then kept. Promises that are good and desirable, those might be made, but not kept. Our leader, David, in this psalm, he compares the leaders in his day and time to a deaf adder. Depending on your translation or depending on the footnotes, you might have a footnote or a version that uses the word cobra. I did some looking. I've always been a little fascinated by this, not necessarily that I want to get up and close to it, but in Asia, you have, in that part of the world, people who are often involved with snake charming. And if you've ever watched that or if you've ever looked at that in one way or another, snakes can sense sound, but snakes do not have that outer ear where they're able to hear something. So if you were playing a piano or you were playing a trumpet or something, they can't hear that music as we do. And if you look into snake charm and snake charming, you find that these guys in some ways are a lot like politicians. They pull some fast ones. I was surprised to realize that in some places, snake charmers will remove the fangs of a poisonous snake. You're thinking that it's a poisonous snake, but it's not. In some other cases, that snake charmer will remove the venom glands. So you're thinking he or she or they're handling poisonous snakes, but the venom glands are gone. And then there's this jewel. I also found examples of people going out and getting a cobra or a different type of poisonous snake that they're going to quote-unquote charm, and it's the movements, it's not, as I said, it's not the music. They will sew the mouth of the snake shut. Well, with the mouth sewn shut, it's obviously not going to be able to do you any harm. And then once the snake gets too weak to continue to perform, if you will, then they will just scrap it and go out and find another snake and sew its mouth shut, and the process continues. Then if you watch how far a charmer is from the snake, they're usually back a little ways. When we think of perhaps a rattlesnake striking, it can strike further than what we might expect, but that's not true for the cobras. About as far as they come out of the container, that's about as far as they can strike. So these fellas have down all the tricks. Well, in Psalm 58, David was apparently familiar with charmers because that's what he describes. And maybe he was thinking about some of those tricks. He knew, as he talked about these adders, these cobras, he recognized that they do not always cooperate with the one who's trying to charm them. David used that to describe the politicians in his day and time. They also were uncooperative. The implication seems to be that when it came to righteousness, when it came to telling the truth, when it came to being good, these fellows didn't want to cooperate. They were like that uncooperative serpent. Just as a snake may want to do its own thing. This was also true of the politicians in David's day and time. As we move forward, halfway down through the psalm, as we look at verse 6, David is really worked up. So it is at this point he says this, break their teeth, O God. Bust out their teeth in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Jehovah. These leaders, in addition to being like snakes, were also like young lions. David thought, he felt like they were very powerful. And he said, God, I want you to bring them down. Their work is evil. They're not just leaders. God, deal with them. The word teeth could be understood literally, but I think it's probably figurative here that David has in mind the injustice. Break the teeth. Break their power. In our day and time, if we were to offer a parallel, we might say stop the flow of evil legislation. God, these people are on the wrong course. They're not on the right path. And please stop them. Please intervene. Please halt the evil activity. David was really fired up about the bad politicians in his day and time. In addition to what we've seen thus far, let's look at what we have in verse 7. He says, talking about these political leaders, let them melt away as water that runneth apace. When he that aimeth his arrows, when he aimeth his way arrows, let them be as though they were cut off. The imagery here may not initially seem very obvious to us, but it's not that difficult to figure out what's going on. You may have seen at some point ground, which is parched. Ground that hasn't had any water for several weeks, maybe several months. If you were to pour some water on that parched ground, or if we were to get some rain, it seems like it just sucks it down. And it's not going to remain there very long. It's absorbed almost instantly. David used that to describe his frustration with Saul and the other leaders. David said, I wish these men would just melt away. As that water is quickly absorbed into that dry, parched ground, he said, God, it's my hope that these evil leaders would simply disappear. If that can't happen, God, he said, I wish that they would be like the arrows that don't have sufficient power to succeed. It would be like if you take off the tip of the arrow, it's not going to pierce a person's body. And that was David's desire for the politicians, that their actions, their will, would be largely ineffective. And then in verse 8, as he continues to talk about these leaders and illustrate how bad they were, we get to snails. Now at first glance, you might think, well, he's gone from snakes to lions to snails. And that would, at first glance, maybe not seem to be all too logical. But the radical change in imagery, going from snakes to young lions to snails, as we look at verse 8, it's understandable why he did that. Let's see that verse now. Let them, he says, these politicians, let them be as a snail, which melts and passes away. And then he gives a second comparison, like the untimely birth of a woman that hath not seen the sun. Within the last couple weeks, I had some brush at our house that needed to be burned. In fact, it was Ladies' Day. Teresa was away. I thought that's a good day to burn the brush, and I did. Big pile. And after I burned that pile of brush and looked at the ashes, I noticed that there was a strange clump. I thought, I wonder what that is. Never seen anything like that before. So I got a stick, turned the clump over, and I found that that clump was a burned turtle. Never seen a burned turtle before, but that's what it was. At some point, a turtle had crawled into that pile of brush, and after it was lit, there was no way for the turtle to escape. There may have been a little melting on that turtle. Psalm 58, verse 8. And that turtle passed away. But that's not what David has in mind in Psalm 58, verse 8. He says, I want that snail to sink into the slime. I want it to melt away. The idea there is that these terrible, these awful, these ungodly politicians, David says, I wish they would just sink down to the mud. That's what they like. They like that sin, the degradation, and he says, I just wish they would slip down into the slime. If that's not enough, he also says in verse 8b, the latter part of that verse, he says, I wish they would be like a stillborn child. Just go away. Not even see the light of day. Long before we came along. And if this world stands for many years, likely long after we leave it, there will be political leaders, there will be rulers who agitate and irritate, anger people, some of whom are Christians. If at any time in your life you ever see political leaders at the federal level, at the local level, at the state level, and you're frustrated by them, realize that you are not the first to be having that experience. As David begins to reflect on what was taking place in his day and time, he begins to draw some conclusions. Earlier I said we were going to go back to verse 1. Let's do that now. Do ye indeed in silence speak righteousness? Do ye judge uprightly? And then here's the important part. O ye sons of men. At the end of the day, every single politician is a son of man. That simply means that they are like you and I. We may give them authority. We may give them power. Perhaps with that authority and power, they rule for many generations. They may abuse that power for a short or long, maybe their entire political career, and maybe even avoid rightful prosecution. In the end, though, as David begins this psalm, he recognizes that all politicians are human beings. Regardless of who they are, each year they get older. A time eventually comes when disease, old age, or something else fulfills what we find in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Regardless of what politicians do, and some have tried to do a good job, others have been corrupt from the, practically it seems like, the teenage years, God is still in control of all things. And those who seek political office, and perhaps abuse political office, can do that, and maybe enjoy that for a short period of time. Notice verse 9. before your pots can feel the thorns, he, that's God, will take them away with the whirlwind, the green and the burning alike. This verse also, if you were to just look at it initially, you might think, I wonder what's going on there. But as we start considering it, it's not all that difficult to understand. In David's time, if people were going to cook, they, of course, didn't have the kinds of things that we now possess, gas and electricity. They had to find something combustible, often wood. That's what David has in mind here. He's talking about fuel for a fire, a cooking fire. But the fuel here is not a nice pile of oak or some other wood that's going to burn for a while. David, as he thinks about the combustible material here, he talks about thorns. Now, if you've ever burned some thorns, you know that they usually don't last very long. David said, you have this fire. It's made of thorns. And he says, before the pot can get hot from the thorns. That's going to be a good comparison for the politicians. Before the pot gets hot, it's all going to pass away. It's a way of saying that the politicians that were so frustrated at him, there is a level that he recognized that was good. The wicked politicians would be removed. He says God's going to take them away like a whirlwind. And then you have this other strange point in this verse. He talks about the green and he talks about the burning. When you think about politicians, they fall into generally one of these two categories. You have the green politicians. You have the new politicians. Those that maybe have only been there for a few months, less than a year, maybe, you know, less than 5 years, something like that. And they're still green. They may be just as evil as some others, but they're not that experienced. And then David talks about the people who were the burning, the people who were the older politicians, the people who were the career politicians, the people who had been there for a long time. They knew the ins and the outs, and they were wicked. If some leaders, young and old, deserve to be punished, as David thought about these people, he said it's going to happen. Verse 10, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. If those leaders lie, if they cheat, steal, embezzle, cover up crimes, we may never see what they do. They can sometimes shield their activities. But David, as he looks at these people, he says God sees, God knows. And God's going to deal with them at the appropriate time. He has the power to punish. If justice needs to be administered, God may do some of that in this life. But in the hereafter, certainly, if the scales need to be balanced, they will be balanced, and they will be balanced for eternity. As David reflects on the political leaders in his day and time, he recognized that all is not lost. It's also in verse 10 where he says, the righteous will wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. While evil leaders may be in power throughout the world, and they may feel like they're on top, they can have their parties, they can revel in their power, they can have that great admiration from their supporters. But God says in this psalm through David to the wicked, if you are a leader and you're not on the side of right, know your days are numbered. And you better enjoy those days, because the time's going to come when they're going to end. Verse 11 is the last one in this psalm, and that says, so that men shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, there is a God. There is a God that judgeth in the earth. As David thinks about the political leaders and all the shenanigans that they may have pulled, he's been unjustly put on that most wanted list. He said, there is a God. You guys may be having your heyday right now, but there is a God who is a judge in, for, and of the entire earth. Whether we go back to the first political leader, whoever that was, or if we could look forward in history to the last political leader, God will judge every politician. He's going to judge every person. And like snails that sink down into the slime or the mud, each person who is not in the right relationship with him will be destroyed. Rulers may have assistance at their beck and call as they go through this life, but that will not be true in eternity. Political leaders will not get any special treatment in hell. There'd be no servants. There will be no, well, Mr. or Sir or Ma'am, those kinds of things. Only the righteous, Psalm 58, verse 10, will have a reward. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25 said, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but God's word abides forever. I was thinking about that passage in terms of politicians. In view of tonight's material, I think that you could look at that verse as politicians come, Politicians go, God abides. And that's right. And that's an encouraging lesson for us as we go through life. Regardless of what political leaders we have in life, it's temporary. Like the storms that we talked about this morning, one day they'll all pass. And the only thing that counts at the end of the day is being a Christian. Someone who's in a right relationship with God. Sometimes political leaders make that very difficult. Sometimes politicians create hardships, so it's difficult to live the Christian life, to worship, to talk about God with those in our immediate surroundings. We, at the present time, don't have that issue. So if we're not a Christian, we can't say, if I believe I'm going to be persecuted, I'm not sure I can do that. No persecution, no real persecution for belief. If we want to repent and live as a Christian, we've got the freedom to do that. We can do that openly. If we want to confess Christ as the Son of God, no one's going to beat us. No one's going to put us in jail. We can do that. And if we want to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, no one's going to restrict that. There is no reason for someone to not become a Christian. There is also no reason for someone in this country with all the freedoms that we have to not faithfully live the Christian life. Thankfully, leadership up until this time has by and large supported what we find in the Bible, and hopefully that continues to be true. If we've not taken advantage of that freedom, that opportunity, tonight you have at least one more chance to do that, and do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.